All right. Ladies, we are back. I hope you have all had the opportunity to chime in and listen to our gut health episode because it was so fun and fantastic. And I kind of want to start off today with a continuation. In that episode, Shannon had mentioned that she could not wait to get her Viome results. And guess what? Those results are in. So, Shannon, tell us about your...
Oh, my results. Okay. So, yeah, it was weird. It said that I'm sensitive to... So it tells you the things you should avoid, things you should minimize, what you can enjoy, and what your superfoods are. So, yeah, changed a lot of what I'm eating, and I'm feeling a lot more energetic, actually. It's interesting. So... eggs, which is such a bummer because I love eggs. Not supposed to be having eggs. And then I'm not supposed to have tomatoes, watermelon, which I freaking love.
Right.
Trying to think. There's other things that I didn't really care. Oh, celery. That was weird. And a lot of it's because it's not specifically the food, but some plants have viruses and some, like eggs, have certain bacteria. And it's that it's not playing nice with your system, possibly because you overindulged and have too much of that in your body. And so it's not a forever thing. It's a until your gut gets balanced out thing. And you can retest and kind of see. So I ordered the probiotics that they offer because I required 16 different pre and probiotics to kind of repopulate my gut.
Well, that doesn't seem like very much. I mean, wasn't at least like 43 or something like
that? Well,
that
was supplements. I take the Melaleuca supplements, and okay. I don't really want to take theirs. But you cannot find, I looked everywhere to not order theirs, and you can't find something that comprehensive. And some of the different probiotics I'd never even heard of, and I was looking them all up and, of course, researching. What is this? How can I get around this?
You're yeah, there was nothing. Nerd.
But it ended up being like $40 for a month's supply, so it wasn't crazy. You know what I mean? And it's a powder you mix and...
But you do feel like you have more energy.
I just got the probiotics a couple days ago. But changing the, it's interesting because my inflammation in my hands is way less. And then there was several things that were minimized that I was eating a lot of, like almonds and pecans and I can't remember what else. But there were a lot of things on my minimized list to kind of get out of my system. So I was really excited that dairy was no problem for me. It's kind of interesting. You figure out, the things that you thought were maybe bothering you, because I always thought when I went to Mexican food, it was the tortilla that made my stomach blow up like a balloon. I think it was the tomatoes, because I would eat salsa like crazy.
Yeah.
Because I've since eaten a tortilla when some catering came in for work. No problem.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you just assumed it was like the gluten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I haven't really experienced those swollen fingers unless I've had like a ton of salt or something like that. So it's really cool.
So you think that the tomatoes, just they just don't jive with
No, it's a bacteria. It's a virus. It's a plant virus. And so I think it's an accumulation of it when you're eating a lot of that and that it's not making your guts happy.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. So at Viome.com, peeps, they will give you this breakdown.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Yeah. I was really surprised when Shannon said, I can't have watermelon, because I was like, are you kidding? It's made up of... water.
Yeah.
Water and a little flavor. Yeah. I mean, what's it going to hurt you? Yeah. Right. And when she clicked on it and it actually gave the actual breakdown of it made sense.
There was a certain sort of compound in the watermelon that wasn't playing nice. So it's not that it's a bad for you food. It's just a bad for me food. And it's not playing well with my guts. But yeah, you can click on each food and it will tell you why, whether it's a plant virus or a bacteria or that it has a compound, like something in celery was some compound that was in there.
Well, and it's just your guts need to heal first.
Yes.
And so that's the importance of the probiotics and stuff like that.
So I had been on Augmentin, which is a very strong very strong antibiotic for a couple months a while back for a really bad sinus infection. And I think, because Augmentin is one that can make you end up with C. diff, where it kills everything in your guts and you get deathly ill. So I think that just the scope of probiotics I was taking before just didn't have enough to repopulate.
Right. So did you look into like what Viome's recommendation is as far as do this specific regimen for 6 months, 8 months and retest?
It was like 3 months and retest. I don't know if I will do that or not. Just cause it's spendy. Ugh. I might just go by how I feel and then retest next year or whatever.
Yeah,
and
I think that sounds more
reasonable. Yeah, I think it could get really extreme.
Yeah.
So I'll just kind of keep eating that way and, yeah, when I'm being good and taking time to plan ahead and food prep and all that happy crap. So, well, yeah, it's been fun. It's really interesting, and it does make you just look at things differently. And also, like you said, listening to your body. Like, I was like, okay, it said I could have cottage cheese. And I was like, oh, my God, since I can't have eggs, what other, like, simple protein is there? Like, eggs, you can just throw eggs on, and it's so easy. It's faster than cooking a piece of chicken.
So when it says eggs, it's, like, the whole egg. You can't have the whites. You can't have the yolk.
For me, it separated it out. Chicken, egg, white, chicken, egg, yolk. It's weird.
That's so nutty.
I know.
So nutty.
But, like, Autumn Calabrese from Beachbody, she can have quail eggs and yolk. Like, those. And it, again, comes down to the bacteria that's in that specific. But quail eggs are, like, the size of a freaking peanut.
I don't even think I've ever seen a quail seen a quail
They're
egg.
They're so tiny. They're so tiny. She's like, I had to make six of them. I'm like, and they're super spendy. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, I'm not going to go track down some damn quail eggs. I'm just like, I just really want a scrambled egg sandwich really bad.
And now that you know not supposed to have it, now you crave it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like Elise says, if you really want it, you're just going to deal with the consequences of it. You might just feel puffy or.
Well, and maybe the consequences won't be as bad because you know.
Maybe.
You just let it digest. And
I just really want the inflammation to go down in my body. And that's, you know, kind of where I'm headed to try and calm that down and, like you said, heal.
Right.
So. That's the goal.
last night I was sitting on the couch, just wanting a snack, watching my smut, and you know that series, Good Girl. It's like these moms that like get together in this crime spree to support their family.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I've never seen it before.
Oh yeah, it's good.
So anyway, I sat down to watch it. And I'm like, oh, I want some popcorn. And I love, like, little Snickers candy bars that are frozen or those 100 grands that are frozen.
Yeah, yeah.
And where they're little, I mean, you can pop four of them like they're, like they're Smarties.
And it's so, just a tiny one. Nom, nom, nom.
Right.
Nom, nom.
And so, and the freezer's just right there. So I'm kept going back for more. But I thought popcorn and, you know, a few candy bars isn't going to kill me. But literally, I don't know if it was the fact that it was kettle corn. And
sugar. It was probably the sugar.
Probably. But I could feel it in my hands. Mm-hmm. And I'm like.
Well, so much corn anymore is freaking genetically modified freak food, right?
Right.
So that's the problem. Like corn is like on that gut protocol thing. Corn was like, stay away from corn because it's commonly inflammatory. Is that right? Commonly inflammatory?
Yeah.
It's a common, regardless, anyway, so it's one that tends
to cause. It commonly
makes
you puffy.
You want to eat the puffed corn, not
That's right.
look like puffed corn.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So that would mean corn on the cob. Boop. No bueno.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It would be interesting. You separated it out to see if it was sugar.
I'm having corn on the cob tonight.
So see what happens.
See if I get
the
puffy.
If it was the sugar or the.
I'm sure it was the sugar. Had to have been. Anyway, it was a good show.
Sugar.
I'm going home to watch my smut again.
It is a good show. It's not too smutty.
No, it's not. But seriously, I'm like, mom's on a crime spree. Let's get real here.
I know, right?
Come on. I know. Can you see us holding up a grocery store? Come on.
Sock over your face.
That's right.
Pantyhose over your face. It's a new kind of filter. Pantyhose face.
Anyways.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Let's jump into today's episode. I've been thinking about this a lot and how we have, Shannon and I have very much a common field of study. We're both dental hygienists, but we have two very, very different field of dreams. The way we practice hygiene is very, very similar, but how we do it is very, very different. Where I find comfort in the profession, I think would probably drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And where I have been in a specific setting where as to how you practice hygiene, that's where we met each other. And I went crazy. And so I go through this thing. It's called like the 3 to 5 year itch. Mm-hmm. And no, it's not an STD.
Oh my God.
I get very like squirmy. Like I need change. I find a lot of comfort in discomfort. I've mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. And so the unknown is exciting to me. So you want to go? Or do you want
yeah,
me to
I
go?
Definitely. I like my space. I like things just so. I like my fan. I like my, like, it's funny. I like to find my dental home. I like to work with the same people and know who my bosses are. And, like, I like to just get in my groove and my routine. And I love to watch my patients change and grow. I love to watch kids grow up. So for me, growing with the practice is really rewarding for me. And I love having those familiar faces. And I know you love seeing your patients
oh, yeah.
too. But I definitely get that where you could. But for me, I'm so fussy in my room, like the way I work. It's so silly, but I'm very particular about my environment. My doctor calls my room my apothecary because I have my essential oils in there. And I have my fan and I play music for my patients. And I, yeah, it's like my little spa in there. So
the first time I met your doctor, mm-hmm. he's, you know, we were talking about.
I mean, I have six of them. Which one? One of them. The main guy.
The main dude. So he said, you know, I had mentioned our similarities.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, tell me how you're different.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, you're not going to find essential oils in my purse. And it's true. You're not. If you have a tummy ache, go lay down. I don't have Calmicid for
exactly.
You.
I know, right? Everyone's like, Shannon will have something for me in her purse. I have like one of those Mary Poppins purses. There's everything under the sun in
and
there.
It's heavy. It's heavy.
It's a heavy one. Oh my God.
Well, I kind of feel like my field of dreams is it like hygiene was just the start for me. Mm-hmm. My story goes as follows, I guess. The short version is, you know, I think the day that I made the separation in my marriage, there was a few things that were said to me. One being, you need me. See you in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then two, it was, I don't know why you're going to try and go back to school. You know, you're not smart enough to do it. And
your fire right there.
Right. It really just lit a fire under my butt. And, you know, and if I could tell him now, which I can't, if I could tell him now, thank you for saying that to me, I would, because right. I didn't realize what a blessing that phrase was. And so from that point forward, I did go to college. I did complete it. I did get my bachelor's degree. And I really felt like, even though it was expensive, it gave me a foundation to build upon. One thing that I did fresh out of school was I subcontracted. I realized right out of school that I was green, I knew nothing, and I needed to get around not just one hygienist, but a lot of hygienists. I needed to listen to them. I needed them to teach me, right? And that's where you came along. I mean, mm-hmm. you taught me so much when I started working with you. But I also needed to finish that bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, that was my next stepping stone. And then I got, then after I did kind of, after I graduated, I thought, okay, I'm going to get into a home. I want to grow with a practice. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple of different offices that, you know, I invested time with them. And then I got the rug pulled out from under me. Mm-hmm. And then I just thought, where it happened not just once, but twice.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, where it's about me. Now mm-hmm. and how am I going to take control of my life to make it better for my kids? Mm-hmm. And so at that time, I thought, you know what? I'm going to completely branch off and I'm going to build a business. Mm-hmm. And luckily, like, I feel like the world and the universe kind of introduced me to the right people to help mm-hmm. me get that party started. And so I do have a business outside of hygiene that is challenging. I've had to learn things that are not hygiene related. Yeah. It's international business and communication skills. And I get to meet a lot of really, really interesting people. So my avenue in hygiene is so different because I have chosen not to grow with a practice. I have chosen to keep my skills very, very sharp. I have to be on my toes in going into someone else's kitchen.
Yeah.
And cleaning someone's teeth. I get to, and I look at this as a blessing. I love the people that I encounter. And every office that I go in is in a different zip code. Mm-hmm. And so specific zip codes.
It is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The demographic, it can be 2 miles away and be a whole different patient
base.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a trip.
You get out in the 616 and...
Is that Eagle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's bougie out there.
It's bougie.
It's bougie and a little pissy. Maybe?
Yep.
There's a little...
High maintenance.
Oh, God.
You have got
Sorry, Eagle.
Well, but you know what? We love you, too. And,
yes.
And the patients that I saw out there loved them and really found common ground with them. But again, I had to... mold.
Yes, you adapt.
Yes.
You adapt.
And then some of the offices that I will subcontract in, say, in Nampa. Or Caldwell. Okay, they're predominantly, there's one specific office that has a lot of Spanish-speaking patients that don't speak any English. Mm-hmm. Well, I speak English. Me no español. Not one lick.
So, not one lengua.
No.
I know a few words. I can get them to open and close, but yeah.
I freaking do charades with them.
What? I know.
So that's challenging too. Mm-hmm. But even the doctors that I sit chairside next to, they're all different. Mm-hmm. And I pick up on how they do exams and literally all different. And I love that. I love the unknown. So even though Shannon and I, we do the same thing, we are on two different pages as far as that go.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I mean, I don't hate to say this. We're really good at what we do.
Yeah. We are very good at what
really,
we do.
Really good at what we do.
So I was a dental assistant. So right in high school, I went to like a job fair or something and, I noticed that dental hygiene was a good paying career for a woman. I mean, woman or man, regardless, it still is dominated by females. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. I was always very curious when I went to the dental office. I wanted to poke through the drawers. I wanted to see what they were doing. And I never was afraid, even though I had a ton of dental work. Anyway, I was always curious. So when it came down to my folks putting me through college, that they weren't, you know, able to do that or willing. So I thought, okay, how am I going to do this on my own? So I went to a tech program to start and I went to dental assisting. So I was like, okay, that is a smaller amount. It's a smaller amount of time. I can get out and start working and then maybe go to hygiene in the future. So I worked as a dental assistant for 8 years and I loved it. It got to the point where I was getting frustrated. I wanted to run my own show a little bit more, and it was interesting. The doctors that I worked for at the time actually pulled me into their office and said that they saw a lot of potential in me and what was I doing beyond dental assisting, because I should go to dental school, because they said, you know, you've got the skills to do it, and we see promise in you. And that was, I think, the first time in my life that I'd had a professional, someone that I respected, really see me and mm-hmm. really acknowledge that I had more to offer. I don't think in my home life or in my personal life I'd ever been told I was smart, other than teachers. But I think I had such low self-worth when I was young because of my home life that I really was like so surprised by that, and that they saw that in me. And so that really bolstered my confidence. And a lot of working with those doctors, this was Daryl and Roseanne Mooney in downtown Boise at Capital Dental, and they changed my life. So I started taking courses and going, you know, planning to go to dental school. But I started to change my mind and think, oh, God, I'm already 27. How am I going to do this? I'm ready to have a family. So there was a dental hygiene school in town, and I thought, well, I'll go do that. So did that for 2 years and graduated when I was 30, right? 30 years old. So I kind of started my career a little bit later because I went to school later. But worked in one practice for 13 years and learned a lot. It just wasn't the right environment for me.
No, me neither.
That's maybe where Ashley and I met, and very intense environment, although I developed relationships with some amazing people and amazing patients, and luckily...
You've had a good following.
It's been interesting. Like, I still have people seek me out on Facebook and find out where I'm at. It's really weird. I had someone less than a month ago, like, seek me out. So, which is kind of cool.
It's a huge compliment.
It's a huge compliment. Yeah. So we appreciate those relationships. And, yeah, it's really, really cool. But where I'm at now, I love it so much. The doctors I work for are wonderful men and women. And my coworkers are so fun. And it's a job. Everybody has their ups and downs. Yeah. But I used to grind my teeth all the time. A very stressful environment. For 13 years. And I don't do any of that anymore. Like, I just don't. I don't go home angry. It's so nice.
It's almost like they unplugged from you.
Yeah.
Because you can have the bad energy plug into you.
It is
and completely it's like, drain.
Literally
you.
Made me sick.
Yeah.
Literally made me sick towards the end, like stomach aches and GI issues and headaches, and it made me very sick. My husband sat up as a completely different person when I left. So it's such a blessing.
If we were to throw some advice out to these young little buckaroos looking to get into the dental field, what would you advise them? Because, I mean, I graduated hygiene school a little on the older side. I was 33 and jumped right into it. But I mean, I had two kids and stuff like that, so I had life experience behind. What would you say to a 20-year-old wanting to get into it? I mean, because there's so many things that you encounter on a day-to-day basis that you don't encounter in school.
No.
And so would you say that it's a profession that you still love?
I do still love it. I love the work. I don't love how my body is reacting right now. Like, sometimes
it's
I have neck pain.
Yeah.
My arm goes numb on a regular basis because I've looked down on people literally with my head down for 28 years. I've been in dentistry for 28 years. That's insane to me. So my right arm and my right hand go numb all the time. And there's a few little exercises that it'll wake right back up. But I would say going into it, really look into ergonomics, look on how to stretch your body and keep yourself strong. Be ready to work harder than you anticipate, because it is not...
You're not just scraping teeth.
No, it is... You better be ready with your communication courses. You better be good with interpersonal communication. You better be good with being incredibly patient, comfortable with the information that you're ready to teach patients what you've learned. Confidence in yourself is huge, because people will walk all over you you're not confident.
And be ready with blood.
Yeah.
Some of those cases are bloody.
Yeah. And so you do have to be, if you want to have good relationships with your patients, you better know what you're talking about, and you better come with confidence. And so, so that they can trust you and have that, you know, trust in you if you're second guessing yourself. But also it's nice to work, in a larger environment with other hygienists, in my opinion, because like in my office, there's a few of us that have been doing it a long time, and the young ones come to us, and I love to teach them. I freaking love it. And so I love to coach and teach people and have that light bulb moment with them. I think it's so fun. So find yourself a mentor and be open to learn, because you're not going to be doing it right at first.
Well,
you're going to make mistakes.
And things
change.
It is hard.
It's not easy work.
No.
It is like a wrestling match sometimes, literally.
The cheeks and the tongue
and the
are
tongue,
tough.
Like the strength that comes in our hands and the fatigue from literally wrestling with some people. And some people, it's a piece of cake. And a lot of people can't control their own body movements. And it's interesting, but they're involuntary. It's interesting. So it's not easy work.
No, it's not. One thing that you told me when you were, because Shannon was my mentor, she said, never think you're so good at something that you don't lose your tactical sensation, and be okay and humble enough to ask another hygienist to come and explore for you. Mm-hmm. And I've never forgot that. And I do pass that piece of information along to anyone that I get the opportunity to mentor.
Yeah.
Like, never think that you are just seasoned and amazing. Mm-hmm. There is always going to be a mistake. There's always going to be something that's missed. Mm-hmm. If you question it, pull a fresh set of hands in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes you just hit a block where you're like, what am I feeling right here? Or yeah. I cannot get this piece of calculus off to save my life. You're taking x-rays and you think you got it and you don't. And sometimes it just takes a fresh perspective and a fresh set of eyes. Even like when we're giving anesthetics, that's part of, well, we have a separate license for local anesthetic. And sometimes you just straight up miss and you'll be like, okay, I need a fresh perspective because you get stuck.
Yeah.
And so I love my team that they'll do that. They'll come and be like, come get this off for me. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's a challenge. It's exciting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially if you get it, or even just helping each other with x-rays or whatever it is. But
well,
we have
and building that level of confidence with your team, mm-hmm. that they'll come to you yeah. or you'll go to them and be yeah. like, I need ya.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a collaboration. It's so cool. So cool. But we should talk about like things that patients should know, don't you think?
Let's start with a toothbrush. Brush your damn teeth.
We use the fuzzy end. When you go to your dental appointment, okay, when you go to the gynecologist, I would hope that you freshen yourself a bit before that exam.
Scrub it.
When you go to the dentist, part of what we're looking at, like a dental hygienist for your cleaning appointment, some people will think, I don't need to brush my teeth because she's going to clean them. I'll tell you where this is wrong thinking. Part of what we do is educate people on their technique in maintaining their oral health. And so if you come in that you've just brushed your teeth and just flossed and everything, we can kind of assess where you might need help, where you might need a change in technique. So if you come in filthy, we think
you're filthy.
Where do we start? So often I'll seriously brush people's teeth. And honestly, some people don't know how to brush properly. And I'll say, does that feel like when you brush? And they're like, no, I do it totally different. So that's fine too. But it is kind of nice to know, like someone said, they just brushed and then I can see they're going too fast or they need a different instrument, a different type of brush. And so don't take it personally when we show you how to brush your teeth because nothing is obvious to the uninformed. And so, and we're not really, it's not a judgment thing. It's just understanding where our mind is at. So when we see something that's a mess, we think, oh my gosh, they need a ton of help. But some people think, oh, she's just going to clean it. So I'll tell people, like, honestly, you should do your best work before you come so that we can see how to teach you.
I do. I tell them the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kind of try to educate. But I don't know about you, but I kind of take it a step further. You know, people that are a more complicated case. And when I say that, I'm not just referring to their mouth. Mm-hmm. A lot of patients come in and they are on medication. So side effect of medication, dry mouth.
Absolutely.
So they are at a higher risk for having cavities and stuff like that. And so helping them understand what is happening in their mouth and it's all, you know, combined with what's happening to them systemically can be a green light moment for them too.
Oh gosh, I had one yesterday and I felt so bad because we were, I think, the third office she had been to. She'd been to a medical doctor, she had been to a dental practice, and she was getting zero answers. And it's nice to find someone that's comprehensive and understands everything because to me it was incredibly obvious. You know, she, do you snore? She's like, I was just diagnosed with sleep apnea. Number one, dry mouth. You're sleeping with your mouth open. Your mouth, because she's like, my mouth is, it feels all sticky and there's a film on my teeth overnight. She had no idea that plaque builds in your mouth 24/7. There's always plaque developing in your mouth. So if you're sleeping with your mouth open, it's going to get dry. And sure enough, your teeth are going to feel dirty. She's like, and I get a coating on my tongue and I get red bumps on my tongue. And I looked at her tongue and she had what's called fissured tongue. And she had a condition called geographic tongue, which is a benign condition. It's just where the tongue doesn't fuse completely. And so it looks like cube steak, kind of like it's been cut up and it's healed with cracks in it. And then geographic tongue is sometimes when you eat spicy foods or something that's irritating like salsa or tomatoes or something acidic, you'll get areas that become inflamed and red and sometimes...
And it hurts.
It can hurt. And some people, it doesn't hurt them at all. But that she'd been to a dental office and no one ever told her she had a fissured tongue or geographic tongue and that she had bumps on her tongue and they said, we don't know what, What? How did they not? So it was kind of rewarding because she had no idea. Like, so I taught her products and all of those things. And plus she also has Hashimoto's, which is, so anyway, there was just a multitude. Make sure you find someone that's looking at your whole body and checking your health history and is understanding what's going on with you, you know, big picture.
Yeah.
Big picture.
Well, so since we've started this podcast, I don't know about you, but I have learned a ton. I'm picking up on little quotes and, you know, the gut health side of things. You know, we go to events like Go Red for Women and we learn stuff there. All of those things, like I take back to patients that I see around the valley, you know, and I get patients that are super excited and they're like, how do we get a hold of you? Through the podcast.
I know, exactly. Check the podcast. I do too. I talk to a lot of my patients about it because I think that we have the opportunity to learn a lot of things, and even just in our continuing education and trying to unwrap those puzzles that our patients present with is kind of neat. You know what I mean? Like, it's very rewarding. Like, she was so excited that someone could figure her out.
Yeah.
Because she's been literally, she's like, I have been miserable for a year and no one could help her. Like,
oh,
that was
gosh.
So sad. So,
one thing that I had a new hygienist, she was new, like 2 years old, fresh out, right? So I was asking her about the national boards because we know what we took. Mm-hmm. You know, there's five of them. Mm-hmm. And one of them was the process of care, which that was the exam that I was like, they give you a patient and you have to answer all those questions. And every patient is so different, but you've got one specific, right? And anyway, the new hygienist coming out, they don't even have to take that anymore.
What?
They don't. I mentioned the process of care exam and they're like, what is that? Are you kidding me? It's only the most, I think one of the most important exams they should take, you know? And so, yeah, they said no. They don't have to take that anymore.
Well, I have had that with some of the young gals where they'll take a full mouth series of x-rays and say, I don't know where to start.
What?
So maybe that's why, is because they're not getting that comprehensive look of where to start. And so I'm so blessed that I've had the experience that I've had as a dental assistant because I understand the restorative side of dentistry in a very different way and have different set of skills and languages. And also I'm such a frequent flyer in the dental chair. Holy crap. Been there, done that with all the procedures, so I understand what they're going to go through as well. Other than gum disease, I've never had gum disease before. But
so that's one thing that, because just like you, I look at the whole picture. I'm looking at the restorative side of things, and pretty dang detailed, right? And so all the
risk assessment, all of that, like what your risks are, everybody's incredibly unique.
All the offices that I go in, you know, I will give the doctor a rundown. This is what I want you to check. These are things kind of red flag. One office specifically that I'm in right now, I had the cutest little four-year-old. He was darling yesterday. Mm-hmm. He just made my day. And I don't really do children. I'm just gonna put that out there. I'm not the most patient person. You know, it takes a lot for me to just really bring out the coddle side. Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this little guy was just fantastic.
Every now and again, you get those angels that just.
Yes. And he was so compliant with things. I was able to get x-rays on him, brush his teeth, get him scaled. And the doctor, he looked at me and he goes, now that's impressive. Mm-hmm. And just immediately I was like, yeah, I know. I'm impressed too.
If there's any hygienist listening, I have found the most success with children. I can get a three-year-old and get x-rays and scale and everything. Mm-hmm. And I find that the number one thing to do with it, I don't talk down to children. I don't baby talk children, even young children. I hand them things. Will you hold this for me? I hand them. Give them a job. I have a Nomad. We take an x-ray, you know, with this little portable system. I'll say, hold this, don't drop it, it's really expensive. And they hold on to it. And I'm like, will you hold this? Will you, you know, hold this mirror for me? And they're so busy working, literally working, that they don't have time to think about what I'm doing. And they like to be involved and they love to help. And so lots of high fives and you're awesome and stuff.
Right.
But I don't coddle them and don't talk down to them, but give. I hear all the time, and I keep forgetting to mention this, I hear other hygienists say, can I clean your teeth? Can I do this? They're going to say no. Don't say that.
No.
Say, this is what we're going to do. Will you hold this? Do this. Hold this toothbrush. Hold this mirror for me. Like, oh my gosh, what do you think? Push this button.
Yeah.
And then they're in a whole different role. So, and parents, oh my gosh, stop patting your kid on the leg and say, are you okay? Does that hurt? That just tells your kid, should this be hurting?
Right.
Why, what's happening? Like,
parents, just stay in the waiting room.
It's fine if you're in there. Listen to what the hygienist has to say, but do not overly let her take the lead and let her lead your child in the right direction.
Yeah.
Stop putting ideas in their head. I had a mom that wanted to tell her kid about the shot they were going to get, and I'm like, don't do that.
No.
Don't do that. Do not tell them. Little kids will have no idea what I'm doing because I'm going to play. I'm going to shake their cheek. I'm going to be, you know what I mean? Like, it's better that they're not knowing what's going on.
Right, right.
So that we can, and also don't talk to them when we're giving them injections. Don't do that because I want them to listen to my voice and focus on me and look me in the eye so that I can guide them and teach them the right thing. If they have mommy or daddy patting them on the leg, they think, oh shit, should I be scared?
Right.
Like,
that's why I say stay in the waiting room.
Yeah, yeah.
They will do so much better if you're not there.
They do much better with mom or dad there. Yeah. I know I'm a controlling parent, so I always like to be there. But I also have taught my children to behave and to listen to their healthcare professional and to not, you know. So, yeah, I would never tolerate some of the behaviors I see. But I also have a different education, and not everyone going into the office is going to have that education. But just know to let your dental professional take the lead and try not to intervene too much and to tell your child that this is non-negotiable and they're here to take care of you.
But sit down, shut up, and let us do our job.
Exactly. But a lot of people don't know, especially parents with their young kids. I find that a lot of people don't understand the process of like tooth decay, and tooth decay is still the number one childhood disease. And a lot of people don't realize that, and they think, well, their baby teeth are just going to fall out. And honestly, a lot of them don't fall out till they're, my husband had his baby teeth till he was 16. So you do have to take care of them.
Yeah.
Like, that's rare, but they're going to keep them till they're 11 or 12. So yeah, you do have to take care of them. And you do have to help your kids brush till they're 8 or 9, and then they don't give a darn. And so you still have to be on top of it.
Yeah. You have to teach them what hygiene is.
Yeah. And you can't blame your kid if they get cavities, because I'm sorry, it's on you. I'm sorry, mom and dad, but it's on you. It is not a six-year-old's responsibility to brush and floss their teeth. They can't even tie their shoes. What makes you think that they could possibly be effective at their own personal hygiene? So you do have to intervene with your kids, and that's part of our job. And that's with nutrition and what you're putting in front of them.
Yeah.
My kids are 14 and 16, and I'm still literally up in their grill. Like, let me see what's happening in there.
Yeah.
Because I'm paying for that. So that's another thing to think of. Like, yeah,
that's
your investment. So
that's your money.
You're paying for that.
So Shannon cleans my kids' teeth. And the last time my kids were in there, so my oldest little boy is 14. Smack dab in the middle of the change. Mm-hmm. And he's in braces and all that kind of stuff. And so she was cleaning his teeth, and I was sitting there. And we decided to go above and beyond and start doing some blackhead removal.
Oh my
so
God.
Not only did she scrub his teeth, but man, did we pop some zits.
Oh my God. Yeah, this amazing blackhead in his nose, like on the side of his nose.
Yeah,
and
we should have TikToked that
it would have been a Dr. Pimple Popper.
For sure.
It would have been a million views type of thing for the Pimple Popper community out there. It was like so satisfying. And her son was like, I have tears in my eyes because it's in his nose, right? It hurt, I'm sure, really bad, but we were like, oh, it was so awesome.
It's coming, Coop. It's coming.
Trust me, if you come in, I'm definitely looking at your blackheads and wishing I could remove them. I wish I could do a facial and a cleaning at the same time. I would be the happiest person ever if someone created that hybrid
model. Well, so I don't know if you've seen Coop for a while, but since that, after that visit, I took him right over to my gal at Beauty Haas. If you haven't been there for facials, she's amazing. But I took him right over. He did a complete blackhead removal and kind of got that party started. And I take him back on the monthly. Mm-hmm. So I took him back last month and has really cleaned things up. And then actually having her teach him about skincare, he's kind of upped his game.
Yep.
And he's going in for a hydrofacial in a week.
Nice.
So I think it's important, personal hygiene. You know, we talk about brushing our teeth and, you know, the oral hygiene side of things, but really teaching and showing our kids what personal care is. They may think you're annoying now, but they're going to thank you later when they don't have any scars from popping their zits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, totally. But I was going to break down really quick what the process of tooth decay is.
Do it.
How are we on time?
We are so good.
Okay.
So good.
A lot of people still have no idea what causes tooth decay. It kind of has to be a perfect storm. People say, oh, I have soft teeth and blah, blah, blah. That can be true, but it's typically you get soft teeth as a result of neglect. So everybody knows what
typically.
Typically. Yeah. Yeah. There is a few cases where people have had an overexposure of fluoride, or they do have literally sometimes teeth do erupt with enamel decalcification or some sort of weakness. Maybe if there is a fever when the part of the tooth was developing, sometimes it's just a systemic thing or a genetic thing where.
Don't they use the word? What isn't it? Enamel hypoplasia.
Yeah. It's some sort of just where that tooth didn't form completely. Like I was saying, sometimes the tongue doesn't form completely. That can happen with the tooth as well, often from some sort of systemic upset, even in utero. So it's really wild. But that's pretty rare. The whole I have soft teeth thing is pretty rare. It's probably more that your oral environment is more, you're more genetically susceptible to tooth decay based on your pH balance in your body,
right,
pretty much, which a lot of that goes back to nutrition, which it's crazy. But anyway, for the most part, you're going to get cavities if you're neglecting your oral hygiene, like brushing and flossing, and the plaque that collects on your teeth. People say, oh, my teeth feel dirty or fuzzy. That's what plaque is, and plaque is filled with millions of bacteria. They're all the way around your teeth, under your gums, they're everywhere. You put some food in your mouth, and you're eating, and they're eating too. They're like, nom, 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 nom. And every bite you take, they're eating. And the longer you've let plaque sit in your mouth, especially between your teeth, they get super smart. They get super organized, and they're like little armies. So just imagine these little armies all in your mouth. The more organized they are, the faster they are at destruction. So you take a bite, they take a bite, and they immediately poop, which is weird, but it's their excrement. Their excrement is acid. And as that acid sits on your teeth, what does acid do? It dissolves stuff. So that's where you'll get those white spots on your teeth. That's where cavities start. So that is the softening of the enamel. It's getting soft and like porous. And so as that process continues of not cleaning out the food and cleaning out the plaque, they're just hanging out having a party.
Yeah.
I always say when you leave that stuff in there, it's like when you stick a piece of floss between your teeth and break it up with a toothbrush, you're going and breaking up a party of teenagers before shit gets out of control.
Right.
Like, so if you think about that, like there's a little population in there and you're going in there and breaking up their party, breaking up their little army, their colony. They have to rebuild before they cause trouble again.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will say, my gums are bleeding because you're poking me. No, your gums are bleeding because you have an infection. You have you have a whole bunch of gut bacteria in their party and causing trouble. They make your inflammatory response go off. They make your gums swell. That acid is cutting your gums. The acid is, you know, so imagine that's why you want to get in there and remove all of that stuff, like break up the party.
When we tell you that you have an infection in your gums, no, an antibiotic is not going to cure it.
No. No, it's not that kind of infection.
Nope. You need a toothbrush and some floss.
And some floss or a water pick.
Yep.
The only way to control those types of infections are from mechanical removal of that bacteria. And sometimes it's going to get too thick that you can't get it off. That's where we come in. But if you can break it up on a regular basis, it won't have a chance to thicken. So bacteria, that plaque thickens throughout the day. It gets like almost like cream cheese, like cream cheese spread thickness. And it's called maturation. So it's when it gets really thick. So then if you don't brush it off, then if you're not getting it off, it's going to harden and get into tartar. That's when you feel that real scratchy buildup. So you should always run your tongue across your teeth after you brush and be like, oh, no, that spot still feels fuzzy. Mm-hmm. Because if you leave that there, that's going to mature and turn into a chunk of tartar, which is like having slivers under your gums everywhere. So when it hurts when you get your teeth cleaned, it's because you have an infection. I can dig and clean tartar out of someone that some people just build it anyway. Even with brushing and flossing, yeah. they're still going to build it. But I have patients that come in, no lie, I can be digging under their gums. I am removing tartar and there's not one drop of blood because they are disrupting those colonies all the time. And I love that. I'm like, I wish I could take a video. I should take a video of someone that's healthy but still has buildup and their gums don't bleed. Because right. a lot of people will not believe us that that is the case. Right. And they think, oh, it's because you're poking me. It is not because we're poking you.
Well, and one thing that's really important to know, too, is that cavities are contagious.
Yes.
So what may start on one tooth, if it's in between and proximal, it's going to jump to the other tooth. So what started as $250, and I mean that in dollar amount, just turned to $500. Mm-hmm. And so, no, if there's one, there's going to be two. They travel in packs.
And most children get cavities from their parents. And so, hygienists out there, make sure you educate your pregnant mothers of how to care for their child's teeth before they're born and kind of help plant those seeds while they're pregnant. Because a lot of people just have no idea.
No idea
what to do with their baby's teeth. And plaque will start developing on a tooth as soon as it comes through the gums. And so you do have to take care of it. And you do have to take care of their baby teeth and their gums. I was going to talk about the
One thing I want to mention, too, you know, and I'm speaking to hygienists. I think there's two kinds of hygienists. There's the ones that are educators and they're really in it to treat. And then you have the paycheck players. Mm-hmm. So when you're out there and you are really educate your patients, and patients can definitely, I can't tell you how many patients have told me, like, thank you for just taking the time yes. to talk to me yep. and to let me know. I've never had anyone sit down and actually take the time to tell me what's going on in my mouth.
Yeah.
So if you are in the profession, take the time to not be the color beige, because mm-hmm. there is a lot of beige hygienists out there that are just in it to clean and get you out. Mm-hmm. Be something different that actually is in it to help mm-hmm. and educate. That's what I would tell someone going yeah. into the profession.
Also,
like, be different. Yeah.
And I think that you will be the most successful as a hygienist. People always say, oh, you're going to yell at me. Oh, gosh, you're going to be mad at me. And I'm like, oh, my God, I hope I don't ever make you feel that way. I'm here to empower you. I'm here to give you skills and educate you. I don't ever want you to feel bad about yourself. I want you to be empowered. I want you to know how to take care of your health. I always want you to come back. We want you to come. Like, we're happy you're here. Like, a lot of people won't go to the dentist because they're embarrassed. We're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you got through the door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's do this. Let's work together. So definitely you want to find an office that feels collaborative, that feels like they want to work with you. If someone's telling you you're a mess and you're just, that's not who you want to be your healthcare professional.
No.
You want someone that is going to empower you and teach you and coach you and be your partner in health. That's what you want to find.
How do you handle, because we've all had them, patients that are just absolutely not compliant. Every time they come in, it doesn't matter how you educate, what you tell them, show them how to brush, recommend something that would work for them. People sometimes flossing, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how many times we say it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for you.
Right.
And you're not going to do it. So why talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Let's recommend a water pick or something. But you have that person that just, we don't even know why they come in.
I know. It is shocking. And those people, I just write in the chart that they're non-compliant. And I will often just.
I hear a lot, my wife made me come.
Yeah, and that's fine. And with those folks, sometimes you kind of have to find out what their motivation is, because I had a gentleman years ago that I kind of let him have it one time because he would complain that all the dentistry that we were doing was failing. And I was like, no, that is not that.
You're failing.
It's your failing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh, this gentleman would go days without brushing and he lived on RC Cola. And so, and I finally just called him out and I said, no, you're not. It's like you expect your car engine to keep going when you don't put oil in it. Like, you can't just expect that the dentistry is going to last when you're letting it be covered in acid and bacteria. It's going to fail.
I use that analogy a lot when people are, you know, they They don't come to the dentist for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's like driving your car 50,000 miles without an oil change.
Yeah.
That doesn't, like, you never even, you can't even fathom going 50,000 miles on one oil change. You are asking for serious trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Having your teeth cleaned, that's no different. You don't come for 10 years. You're asking for some serious trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and for those folks that are non-compliant, I will just, as hygienist, I feel like I used to like kill myself for people and try and, oh, you know, do what their insurance will cover and help them out and, you know, literally kill myself. But it comes down to, I've learned to not concern myself with cost of things. Like, I have to do what's appropriate
for them.
And I have to do what's appropriate for me, because I get you for an hour. And if I can't finish the job because I am in a sea of blood and I can't see anything and I know that I'm not accomplishing what I need to accomplish, I'm going to say you need to come back a second time. Or even if they are not going to do it, I at least I'm going to charge appropriately and I'll say you're not qualified for a regular cleaning. A regular cleaning is
this, and this.
It is no inflammation or minimal inflammation and minimal plaque and calculus. That's your preventative every 6 month cleaning. If you come in covered in plaque and calculus and you're bleeding everywhere, that's not a preventative appointment. You're dealing with infection. And so just
that
if that's what you're presenting with, then you're going to get charged differently. So sometimes it comes down to pocketbook for some people. And if they don't mind getting cleaned every 3 months, and then that's fine. I'll just say I need to see you more often. And if you don't come more often, then I'm going to charge you differently. And so it'll be $100 every time you come and your insurance will not pick it up.
Right.
So I think you just have to remember to keep patients accountable as hygienists and realize that you're going to do the best you can to educate them and to be in their corner. But if it's not where they're at, then also take care of yourself and realize, I'm not going to just do what the insurance covers.
Yeah.
I'm going to bill you appropriately, because that's also fraud if we're, you know what I mean? Like, it's, if
there's
I'm not diagnosing,
I'm
not diagnosing that you have infection and inflammation, I'm not doing my job. I'm not being true to my profession and what I signed up for. So we have to diagnose and we have to document in your chart what you're presenting with. And I can't just say I'm going to do a prophy when you really have an infection, because I'm not doing my job.
Right.
So
that's straight up neglect.
Yeah. Yeah. It is neglect. Is it? Yeah. We can't do that. So
it's wrong.
It's wrong. But yeah, I do love it. And I do love to coach and teach and ask questions. And don't be shy. Don't ever feel embarrassed to go.
No.
Don't ever feel embarrassed. We're there to help you.
We're there to help you. And like, I love interacting. I love hearing their personal stories.
Oh, yeah.
And it brings a whole new dynamic. I've actually had to be a counselor outside of hygiene on so many different levels. I've had patients come in. I have one lady specifically, that poor thing. She was crying and I hadn't even done anything. I just had to set her up and actually just talk to her and hug her and love her and tell her that we would do her cleaning on a different day and just go from there. And honestly, that made her day. It made my day.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that aspect of things, just that's why I subcontract, is that I get to see so many different types of people that it's fun for me.
Oh, yeah. No, I love it. I love to make it an experience. Like the patient I had this morning, who was someone that Ashley referred to me.
It's amazing.
We laughed and we listened to music and he was tapping his toes and his hands. He goes, it's really hard not to sing right now. Like, we just, we just were having fun. And that's the best, is when you can really jive with someone and find a good relationship and also make a difference in their life. Like, I absolutely love to see things turn around for people. And also they'll have a more pleasant experience. They're like, oh my gosh, I used to be so scared to come and now I enjoy it. Like, it's so rewarding and I love it so much. And that's pretty freaking cool. If you listen to what your hygienist recommends and your appointments get easier for you, they save you money. You know, I'm often looking at, gosh, your pocketbook, like, man, we need to get this under control. You're gonna just be spending all this money.
Yeah.
And let me help you.
Yes.
Like, buy something else.
That's what I think. Wouldn't you rather put it somewhere else?
Wouldn't you rather buy like new shoes instead of pay for 10 fillings or crowns or a root canal?
Well, and I also think that's kind of the point of, you know, why we love to podcast, is that, you know, we reach people on just a different level. And I can't tell you how many times I've had guy friends reach out to me and be like, oh, this part just really hit home. And you guys are so funny.
I hope so. I hope so. We get serious sometimes too, and I tend to do that, but we definitely want to have fun, and that's, yeah.
And we do have fun. Yeah,
but I do love to teach what I've learned and hopefully make a difference for someone here and there.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I love it. We love it. We love sharing what we know.
So let's raise a glass to our Field of Dreams.
Woo-woo. And we're not even drinking today, but we're drinking our ladies' night in cocktail.
Minus the alcohol.
Any alcohol, because we're trying to take care of our body. However, I'm going to a party tonight, and I will be drinking. So cheers to that.
I am not going to a party tonight, and I am not drinking. I'm going to go home and be a mom there and
watch your smut TV.
All right. Anyway, let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
We love you all, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.